After wishing everyone Shavua Tov, and we're on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's see where we could focus in to start the sugya. Let's see. Maybe what we'll do is let's take a little bit of a few minutes to backtrack on what we saw here on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph and on the top of Gimel Amud Beis, sort of like a little bit of an overview, so that we'll be able to be ready for the rest of the sugya on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. So on the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, we were trying to wonder why the Mishnah finds it necessary to tell us that Nezek requires a Beis Din of Shlosha. After all, the Mishnah already established that Chavolos, which is physical assault, requires a Beis Din Shel Shlosha. Nezek is an assault on one's possessions, on one's property. That should certainly be included under the general category of chavolos. What difference to make whether he's chovel and he injures someone's limb or he injured someone's possession. In both cases, he's causing a hefsed, and the Torah says you have to pay nezikin, you have to compensate him for damages. So the Gemara says that really, in truth, we don't need the word nezek in our Mishnah. The word nezek in our Mishnah is unnecessary, but it's brought in the Mishnah Gav Urcha because of Chatzi Nezek. And the Gemara on the top of Daf Gimel Amud Beis explains that Chatzi Nezek, in the case of a short time, is a very unique kind of payment. In the perspective of compensation, it cannot be subsumed under compensation, because compensation means that if you took a loss, I have to compensate you for your loss. In the case of a short time, I don't really compensate you for a loss, maybe 50%, but certainly not 100%. So basically, the Gemara's conclusion here on the top of Daf Gimel Amud Beis is that Nezek and Chatzi Nezek is sort of like a catchphrase, a twin phrase. And whenever the Torah mentions, or the Mishnah mentions, Chatzi Nezek, it also mentions Nezek Sholem. But the real chiddush here of our Mishnah is Chatzi Nezek. And why is Chatzi Nezek? Because, as we said, it's not a reflection of your classic compensation. That led us to the beginning of a long sugya, which we started on Thursday, and well, Mirtz Hashem will try to make progress today. And this is the sugya of Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan. And they both come to answer the same question, but they give two radically different answers to the same question. And that is, how do we derive the third judge? It's clear that there are two judges, because the Torah unnecessarily repeated the word Elohim twice. In other words, the first Elohim, that's called Mitchila. Mitchila means that's simple pshat, you know, that you have to take the case, it's a case of a thief, of a ganav, and you sue the ganav, and you have to sue him in front of Elohim, which means a judge. But then the Torah says Elohim a second time. And then it says Elohim a third time. So, for example, it says V'nikrav balabayis el Elohim. Then it says Ad Elohim yavod var shnehem. And then it says Asher yashin Elohim. All this is within two psukim in the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim. Why Elohim three times? So Rabbi Yonasan says the first Elohim I don't have to be worried about. I need Elohim to tell me the basic law that an adjudication between two litigants has to be taken in front of a judge. So the first Elohim is necessary. That's called, in the language of the Gemara, Ein Darshin Tchilos, meaning the first time that the Torah says a word in the context of a parasha, that doesn't lend itself to drush. That's required. Says Rabbi Yonasan, but the Torah repeated Elohim a second time and a third time to teach me two judges, meaning there are two times Elohim which are superfluous and unnecessary to teach me two judges. So then Rabbi Yonasan says, so why do I need a third judge? And that's because of a principle which can be formulated in a positive or a negative way. So it's very important that we get the two formulations. In a negative way, we would say, Ein Bezdin Shokel. We cannot allow a judgment on the part of a Bezdin that has an even number, because it's very possible that that'll lead us to a stalemate. We must have an odd number to make sure the majority rules. And there's another name to this, and that's called a Bezdin Nota, Nun Vav Tes He. Nota means it has that extra judge so that we have a majority. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Yonasan, how many judges make up the very backbone of a Bezdin? Two. The third is only necessary because of a side reason, an extraneous reason, which is called Ein Bezdin Shokel, or the fact that we need a Bezdin Nota. So there's a Tosefes here of a third judge. The word Tosefes is very crucial here because it tells you that the judge, the additional judge to jack up the number from 2 to 3 is not essential. He is necessary because of a certain condition, but it's not part of the what we call the Chal Shem Bezdin. The Chal Shem Bezdin can be generated by two judges. The third judge is because we need a Bezdin Shokel. And what's the nafkamina between saying that the third judge is essential to generate the Shem Bezdin, or saying that it's just a Tosefis in order to avoid an uncomfortable situation of a Bezdin Shokel? What happens b'dieved if two judges adjudicated a case and they handed out a verdict? Obviously there was a unanimous decision of two judges. There's no room for doubt that even if there would have been a third judge on the case, even had he been a dissenting opinion, it would still be a majority rules. So if I'm going to tell you that I only need this third judge to guarantee that the decision will be made not by a split of a teiku, of a stalemate, but by a majority, then in this case I guaranteed a majority. So they shouldn't have done it. The Gemara is going to call that a Bezdin Chatzuf. It was a chutzpah on that part. But b'dieved, post facto, if they did it, then we have to recognize their judgment. This is all according to Rabbi Yonasan. But Rabbi Yoshia thinks that the third judge is essential to creating and generating a Chal Shem Bezdin. It's not that we need the third judge in order to guarantee that we have a majority rules, but we need a third judge because the Torah says Elohim three times. And it seems at the beginning of this sugya, at least, that Rav Yoshia rejects this principle of Ein Darshin Tchilos, meaning if the Torah repeats itself, then we even calculate the first time that word is mentioned in the Torah. Even though, again, that first time is absolutely necessary and justified. But once the Torah repeats itself, and then we calculate how many times, because we want to arrive at a number, the Torah actually repeats itself three times, hence I need three judges, Elohim, 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 and the third judge is no less significant in generating a Bezdin than the first two judges. And the Gemara now is bothered by the fact that is it really so that Rabbi Yoshia rejects this principle of Ein Darshin Tchilos and he's willing to darshin the first Elohim? That's an untenable position, because we're going to prove, the Gemara, that everybody agrees, and this again I think you should see inside, it's one of the last things we saw on Thursday, is Kuli Alma Ein Darshin Tchilos. Let's see if we can find that if we count down from the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16 lines from down from the top. It's above Tosafot Ramasla Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara says, "Lo, the Kuli Alma Ein Darshin Tchilos." In other words, the Gemara is absolutely convinced that even Rabbi Yoshia must adopt the position of Ein Darshin Tchilos. Ein Darshin Tchilos is a fundamental principle in how to darshin psukim in the Torah. And therefore, Rav Yoshe, if he wants to add a third judge as part of the essential makeup of the court, he has to find another time that the Torah, or another basis for Adrasha, that the Torah requires that additional judge. And here Rav Yoshe comes up with the following. That very often when the Torah in Biblical Hebrew uses the term judge, it's called a shofet. But here in the parasha of how many judges make up a Beis Din, the Torah deliberately avoids the word shofet, and instead it substitutes the word Elohim. And Rav Yoshe interprets that the reason why the Torah deliberately avoided the word shofet is because the Torah wants to teach me that you need an additional judge, a third judge on the Beis Din. Now Rav Yonason is going to come up with what's called Lashon Bnei Adam, otherwise known in the Gemara's language as Lishna D'Alma. Lishna D'Alma means the language that people use. So the Torah often will change its language in order to reflect the idiomatic language, the usage of the vernacular at that particular time. So when the Torah was given, the word Elohim was the, in the language of Bnei Adam, was the classic way that you expressed a judge. A judge is called Elohim. And the Gemara proves that from a phrase in Aramaic that people used to say. But again, all this we discussed on Thursday. Our point is that Rav Yoshia requires a third judge based on the makeup of the court, and he has three psukim, or three words in the Torah to derive the three judges, whereas Rav Yonason says, no, you only have two words, and you only need two judges. We need a third judge as a tosefes. He's not essential, but in order to create what we call a Beis Din Nota. Nota means a Beis Din that could definitely have a majority. Now, how can you have a Beis Din that could definitely have a majority unless you have an odd number of judges? Okay, so that's where we're up to now. So if everyone could put their finger on the place, and we're up to Virabi Yoshia. Let's just see. Oh, here it is. Okay, so just to make sure everyone has the same place. You see where Tosis is Divra Maskal Muki? Everybody just say yes, so I know you're yes on Muki. So go above Muki to about 2-3 lines. That's a line starts with Legabe Dayana. And we're up to the third word in that line, Rabbi Yoshia. David?
I'm speaking of Rabbi Yonason. Would the three judges, would they know who the extra judge is?
Or no. That's unidentified because all three judges begin together. So even if at some point, you know, Reuven sat down on the seat, and then Shimon sat down on the seat, and then Levi sat down on the seat, Levi is considered no less than the other two Dayana, because he participated in the din. Now your question would be relevant in a theoretical way. What would happen if they would add a third judge later on? But we don't know that the halacha allows for such a thing. Okay, for Rav Yoshia, lesle Beis Din Nota, is Rav Yoshia of the opinion that we don't need an odd number on the Beis Din? So let's take, for example, according to Rav Yoshia, what is the minimum number of Dayanim that are absolutely necessary to comprise a Beis Din?
Three,
right? Because he has three psukim, so three Dayanim. What would be in a case of a Beis Din that sat with four judges or six judges?
Rav Yoshia would be fine.
So the Gemara wants to know the lesle Rav Yoshia lesle Beis Din Nota. So again, there's something very interesting about the Gemara's question. The premise that underlies this Gemara's question is that you can have, when the Mishnah says that a Beis Din has to be made up of three, it's a minimum of three, but you can add Dayanim. Now, exactly who would add Dayanim? Would it be the three Dayanim that would invite a fourth Dayan? Or would it be one of the litigants who says, I want another Dayan? That's not clear to us. But be that as it may, the scenario exists where you have four judges sitting in a case, and it's a monetary case. Now what's going to happen is, the addition of the fourth judge, at least from Rabbi Yonason's perspective, who requires an odd number of judges on the court, is problematic. You know, this is, you remember the phrase, kolamosif gorea, you know, here by adding you really subtract. You added a fourth dayan, and you converted the bezdin into what's called a bezdin she'eno nota. And Rabbi Yonason at least requires a bezdin nota. So the word nota again is the same as shakul. In nota means the opposite of shakul. If you follow what I mean, is that it is eno shakul, and nota means that we have an odd number of members of the court, and hence we can create a majority. So Rav Yonason would not recognize the possibility of an even number of judges on the court. That would just be excluded. So if you had four or six or eight or whatever it is, numbers that are even on the court, then it's not a bezdin. And that's because Rav Yonason requires a bezdin nota. You must have a bezdin nota. And Rabbi Yonason's requirement of a bezdin noter is derived from the fact that although the Torah, according to Rabbi Yonason, only requires two judges, we have to add a third judge to make sure that we have a bezdin noter. Now, when Rabbi Yoshia came along and he said, no, we require three judges as part of the essential makeup of the court, what did he hold about bezdin noter? If he held that the third judge is critical, it's not just for the external problem of making sure that we have a majority, then what would he hold about the din of a bezdin nota? Would Rabbi Yoshia have any problem with an even number of judges if you've already passed the minimum? So you already have the three judges that make up the essence of the bezdin. Now we added a fourth judge and we made it into a bezdin she'eno nota, or otherwise called a bezdin shakul. What would Rabbi Yoshia say about such a case?
No, sure.
Oh, so the Gemara thinks that at this point, since Rabbi Yoshia said that, you know, a Tosefes is a non, you know, it's almost like a non-entity as far as b'dieved is concerned, meaning as far as the essence of a bezdin, we don't have this requirement of a Tosefes, you know, to make it into an odd number. That certainly is not part of the makeup of the bezdin. So maybe he rejects completely the idea of a bezdin nota. Maybe he doesn't operate with that frame of reference. And as long as you have a verdict that was handed down by a majority of the judges on the court, that's fine. However, we have a braisa. For Asanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Benosha, Rabbi Yosi, Aglili Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar, there's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says, Lintos Achrei Ravim Lahatos. And the extra word Lintos, says Rabbi Yosi, Aglili, is going to teach me, Torah Omra, the Torah is teaching me, Aselecha Bezdin Noteh. In other words, it's not just Achrei Ravim Lahatos that befall in actuality have a majority, but moreover, the extra word Lintos tells me that you have to set up the possibility of a majority, which means that the makeup of the court has to guarantee, it's got to be built in, that you have a Bezdin Nota. That's derived from the extra pasuk Lintos. And once we have that extra pasuk Lintos, then we need a Bezdin Nota. Now Rashi, as we'll soon see, Dibra Maskel Vahasanya, which is about 15 lines down from the top, Rashi says that even Rav Yoshia would agree that you need a Bezdin Nota. And Rashi touches on a very sensitive nerve over here. After all, Rav Yoshia is a Tana. And if Rav Yoshia is a Tana, how do we know that he's committed to this position in a braisa? So, let's say, for example, you have an Amora So an Amora maintains a certain position. I could slug him up by quoting a Braisa because he can't argue with the Tanoim in a Braisa. But why does the Gemara assume that Rav Yoshi has to say Amen to the position of Rav Yossi Aglili that you need a Bez Nimota? Maybe Rav Yoshi rejects this whole opinion that requires a Bez Nimota. And it seems that the Gemara is assuming that the extra word lintos is such a clear-cut drasha that no one could reject that drasha. And therefore, what do we do with the pasuk lintos? And the answer that we have, and we only have one answer on the table, is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, right? Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who maintains that lintos tells you that you must have a Bez Din Noteh. Okay, you must have a Bez Din Noteh. But now, Rabbi Yossi, what we have to do is we have to open up a chumash. I don't have one here, unfortunately. I had one here on Thursday, but I guess they cleaned it up. You know, maybe it's here in the library, I don't know. We should really tie down, chain down a chumash here because, you know, we always need a chumash. But I'm going to take a stab at this without the chumash, and I'm going to tell you that this pasuk lintos is in the parasha of Dinei Nefashos. Well, let's see if we get a chumash, if I'm right. Oh wow, these are fancy chumash with an English translation. You're lucky it has Rashi in it. I once brought my Rebbe a chumash. He asked for a chumash because I brought him a chumash didn't have Rashi. He said, "You call us a chumash?" He said, "What's a chumash without Rashi?" Okay, but this one has Rashi. I guess Artskol got the message. And we're going to open up to Shmos Perek Chav Gimel. Let's see if we can find this. If anyone finds it faster than me, please tell me what page it's on. It's probably like page 1,000 or something. Yeah, Chav Gimel.
433.
Excellent. So we're on page 433. And the Torah says the following in the second pasuk. It says, Lo siya achre rabim leroz, velo sana al riv lintos achre rabim lahatos. Okay, so there's no indication here that we're talking about dini nefashos. So let's see what the Gemara is going to say now. Savar la ki Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what this means, Rabbi Yoshia accepts Rabbi Yehuda. Let's go over the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say that the highest court in the land, the Sanhedrin HaGedola, has to be made up of what? 71 judges. So we add Moshe to the Shivim Zakenim. Rabbi Yehuda says no, Moshe Rabbeinu did not participate in the Beis Din. He only gathered and established the Beis Din, and therefore all you need for Sanhedrin HaGedola is 70 judges. Now the number 70 is obviously even. It's a Beis Din Shachol, it's not a Beis Din Noteh. So the Gemara says that Rav Oshi accepts the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, namely that the Omar Shivim, this not as we saw in our Mishnah on the Beis, Sanhedrin Gedola Haisa Shal Shivim V'Echad, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shivim. So it means that Rav Yoshia is willing to drop the requirement of a Bez Din Noteh. Do you follow me? You don't need an odd number of Dayanim on the Bez Din. Again, you're going to have to ask yourself, so why the extra word lintos? But at least we see in a halachic vein that Rav Yoshia, standing on the shoulders of Rav Yehuda, could suffice with an even number of judges. And the Gemara is not happy with this. Amar d'shamet leil Rabbi Yehuda b'Sanhedrin Gedola d'chsivei kroi. The Gemara later on is going to derive Sanhedrin Gedola from its own parsha, where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to gather together shivim zkenim. So there's a new rule which Rabbi Yehuda derives from that parsha that all you need is shivim zkenim. And there, in the case of Sanhedrin HaGedola, the Torah recognizes this Bezdin even if it's an even number of 70. But Bishar Beidina, with regard to a Bezdin for anything else, Mishamitle, have we ever heard that you can have an even number of judges on the court? And the Gemara once again is assuming that the word lintos is coming to establish that you need a bezdin nota with a majority, with an odd number of members, and that's going to establish for all batei dinim that you need a bezdin nota, with the exception of the Sanhedrin Agdola. Now, the question I want to ask you at this point is, the Gemara seems to be maintaining that we can darshan the word lintos and require a bezdin nota, an odd number of members, but at the same time, we can maintain that on the bezdin agadol, as Rabbi Yehuda's opinion would have it, all you need is shivim, which means you don't have a bezdin nota. And I find that intuitively problematic, to say the least. If the Torah requires a bezdin nota for lower courts, how much more so for the highest court in the land that makes major decisions, there should be a requirement of bezdin nota. Now again, I can't argue with Psukim, because we'll see that Rabbi Yehuda derives this from Psukim, that in the Parsha Sanhedrin, the Torah says, gather together Shivim Zkenim, and he doesn't have the addition of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he ends up with Shivim. But nevertheless, you know, just logically, it gnaws at me, you know, at my mind. I don't know if anybody can commensurate with me or empathize with me that this is a problem, that why should the Sanhedrin, the highest court of the land, not require a bezdin nota? And you could end up with a stalemate. So I want to suggest an answer. Let's go back to the Mishnah for a minute without losing the place. Yeah, please.
In the Sanhedrin situation, is a judge allowed to abstain, or does everybody have to vote? Yes or no?
Oh, so I'm about to actually address that question. Because what I want to do is go back to the Mishnah for a moment, and let's take a look at the scope of Sanhedrin. Where and when do we require Sanhedrin? So it says the following. It says, "Ein donin es hashevet, v'lo es novi hasheker, v'lo es koin hagadol, el al pi bezdin shel shivim v'echad." Then it says, "V'ein motzin l'melchemes rishus, el al pi bezdin shel shivim." The echad, shivim echad. The ein mosifin al ha'ir v'al ha'zoros LLP bezdin shal shivim v'echad. Ein osin sanhedros l'shvatim LLP bezdin shal shivim v'echad. Okay, now watch what happens. In the first case, or the first, shall I say, section of cases, we're talking about Dunin. You see that word Dunin? Ain't Dunin Los Hashevi Los Anovi Shekev Los Koin Godol. Dunin is a word that's used exclusively for passing a judgment against someone or for someone. Meaning, we have to determine whether the person who is accused of a certain crime is guilty of that crime. For example, in the case of Novi Sheker, we have to know whether this prophet actually prophesies falsely. In the case of a Kohen Gadol, we have to know whether he was responsible for murder. In the case of a Shevet, we have to know if most of that Shevet worshipped Avodah Zarah. Now, at this point, the Mishnah has a new Bava. And in that above, in that section, it says, Ein motzin, Ein mosifin, Ein osin. Here, you'll find that the word dunin was omitted. Why is that so? The answer is obvious. In all those cases, there's no what? There's no accused on trial. It's not a criminal case. We're not judging a person. We just want to know if the circumstances justify that we go out to battle.
To increase the size of the city, or to... But still, there's people involved. There's still... I understand it's not an individual, but it's still affecting lives of people.
Right. But what I'm suggesting is that the reason why the Mishnah has this categorization is because there are two, what I call fundamentally different functions of the court. One function is criminal in nature, and what's at stake here is to decide whether or not the crime was committed. The other is what I call a constructive function. What I mean by constructive is that in order to change or affect some sort of halachic state, we need a bezdin. So for example, to generate a chiyuv milchama when it's milchemes reshus, again, we haven't gotten into the discussion about what's a milchemes chova and what's a milchemes reshus, but let's say, for example, we want to expand the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, that's called a milchemes reshus. So it's beyond the seven nations. So now we have to establish a chova. We need a high court to preside over milchamos and decide whether there is such a milchama or not. We may need other conditions. We may need a melech. We may need a revetumim. But we certainly need a Sanhedrin. That's what I call constructive function, almost declarative. They declare a milchama. Also, to expand the bounds of a city, in this case Yerushalayim, we need a Bezin Shal Ayin Aleph, a 71 court. And once again, we're not judging anyone as guilty or exonerating them from guilt, but rather we want to see if the conditions were met in order to effectuate this change. Another function of the Bezin HaGadol is to establish courts in the lower courts, let's say, for example, to appoint a court in a particular city that's made up of 23 judges. Once again, they're appointing. Again, I don't want to give this mashal, but imagine in certain Western countries, you go to a justice of the peace in order to establish a marriage relationship, correct? In our case, you go to two witnesses and you have to effectuate kesef shtar ubia. There, the witnesses are not judging anybody, but they are creating that marriage relationship. And in certain areas of halacha, we need a Sanhedrin HaGedolah to create a new status of milchama, a new status of the ear, a new status of the shevet or the Sanhedrin for that shevet. So what I want to suggest is that at least as far as the second category is concerned, I can tolerate a stalemate. Why? Because if I'm not coming to any decision or ruling about the guilt of an individual, we're not condemning or vindicating someone, we're only deciding if this is a bezdin, then once we establish the bezdin, that bezdin can implement its decision even if it's a Bezdin shuffle. So imagine if you had, this comes back to your question, if you had 70 members of the court according to Rabbi Yehuda, 35 of which decided that we want to go out to a Milchemes Reshus, it could even be that the other 35 abstain perhaps, and nevertheless you would have a Bezdin HaGadol. In other words, the whole concept of majority and minority maybe only applies to a bezdin that is in charge of adjudication of criminal law, of monetary law, civil law, but not in the case where bezdin is just a function. I'll give you an example. We have a melech, right? A melech has certain powers, certain authorities. He functions in a certain way. We have the power of a navi. And a Navi is endowed with certain powers. So too, we have a Sanhedrin HaGedolah which is endowed with certain powers. Those powers are not based on majority. They're just based on the makeup of the court. Now, exactly what would be the minimum number of judges? Would it have to be 35? Could it be less than 35? I don't know. For that, we'll have to wait to see the sugya of Bezna Gadol. But I'm just suggesting that when we get back to our Gemara here, that the Gemara is saying that you need a Bezdin Nota with a majority of an odd number, but not in the case of Sanhedrin Agdola. And I suggested that that's counterintuitive. We would say that a Sanhedrin Agdola is even more severe, and the standards, the requirement, we would raise the bar as far as Sanhedrin Agdola. Why is it that in Sanhedrin Agdola, the Gemara is insisting that we can drop the requirement of a Bezdin Nota? And the answer is because a Bezdin HaGadol has certain functions and authority that has nothing to do with the decision-making process, in which you have to weigh the pros and the cons, and you have to set up a majority versus a minority, see who those who are in favor, who are those that are dissenting, but rather Bezdin, as a Bezdin, has to make a decision. And it could be that even if you'd have a Bezdin Shakul, they can still operate under the authority of a Sanhedrin Agdola. Again, I'm not working out all the details, but just give you, you know, a little bit of a concept. Now the Gemara says, V'chitema lo shna. And now the Gemara is offering the following possibility, that to the same extent that Rabbi Yehuda drops the requirement of a Bezdin Nota in the case of Sanhedrin Agdola, maybe he would drop the requirement of a Bezdin HaNoteh in all cases, for all Batei Dinim. So the Gemara says that that's impossible. Why? Because Hatnan, our Mishnah says, Smichas Zekenim, you remember we had a discussion about the Parhelim Dover Shel Tzibur, and that that requires a Smicha of either three judges, or maybe even more than three judges. We had our Rifas HaEglo, we found a slain body between two cities, and we have to do a Medida, and we have to measure which city is closer. So the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Shimon, Bishlosha, Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'chamisha. But you see very clearly that Rabbi Yehuda, even in this case of a Bezdin, for a lower purpose, not the Bezdin HaGadol, you need an odd number. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, how did Rabbi Yehuda know that you need five Zekenim for a Parhelim Dover Shel Tzibur? So the Gemara quotes a parsha at the beginning of Vayikra. I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, V'somchu Ziknei Ha'edas Yedeim Al Rosh HaPar. Notice that it says both Ziknei in plural and Eda. Eda, by definition, indicates a plural number, because Eda is a community. And Ziknei, insofar as it's conjugated in the plural, requires more than one. So the Gemara says, V'somchu Shnayim, Ziknei Shnayim. He doesn't derive it from Eda, he derives it from V'somchu. V'somchu is in plural, implying that you need two judges. Ziknei is in plural, requiring another two judges, and that lands at the number four. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda says, I need five. So the Gemara explains, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda to add a fifth judge? The Ein Bezdin Shakul. In other words, we need a Bezdin Nota. Is Mosifin Aleim Odechar Arekan Chamisha. So here's a case of Smicha Sekenim and Egla Rufa. It's not a case of a Bezdin Shalayin Aleph. And yet Rabbi Yehuda says we need a Bezdin Nota. So the Gemara answers the Rabbi Yoshia Adifa mi Rabbi Yehuda. De ilu Rabbi Yehuda b'sanedri gdola hu de lesle. Ha b'shar dina isle. Rabbi Yoshia b'shar dina nami lesle. So the Gemara, again, notwithstanding the extra word lintos, which you don't know what exactly Rabbi Yoshia is going to do with that extra word, Rabbi Yoshia never requires a Bezdin Nota. He uses the Sanhedrin HaGdola as his paradigm case of a Bezdin Shakul. And if in Sanhedrin HaGdola the Torah recognizes the validity of a Bezdin Shakul, and 70 divides into 35 and 35, so too in any other Bezdin, we drop the requirement of Nota. And even a Beis Din Shakul would be a valid Beis Din. So Rav Yoshia absolutely rejects straight across the board the requirement of Beis Din Nota. Hence, in the case of three judges, according to Rav Yoshia, the third judge, no less than the first two, is part of the essential inherent makeup of the Beis Din, and we derive from Elohim. And if you don't want to derive from Elohim because that's Tchilas Drasha, then derive from the word Elohim because it doesn't say Shofet in the Pasuk. But as far as requiring a third judge simply because of Beis Din Nota, that's antithetical to Rav Yoshia's position. He doesn't require Beis Din Nota. So the Gemara right away says, is this possible? Vela hai lintos my ovidle. What does Rav Yoshia do with the word lintos? Because if you're telling me that he completely rejects the concept of the requirement of a Beis Din Nota, then presumably any Beis Din could be made up of an even number of judges. So why did the Torah add the word lintos? Yeah, the extra word lintos seems to indicate that you need a Beis Din Nota. So the Gemara answers, Mokim la bedine nefashos. The Gemara says that in the case of dine nefashos, even Rabbi Yoshi agrees that you need a Beis Din Nota, you need an odd number of dayanim on the Beis Din, because we must be able to tip the scale and hand down a decision based on Rov. And the Beis Din itself, in its very essential makeup, has to guarantee the possibility, at least, that there will be a Rov. And how do we guarantee the possibility that there will be a Rov? We need a Beis Din Nota. So in Dine Nefashos, we need a Beis Din Nota. Now, it's very interesting, because again, if we go back to our Mishnah, the Mishnah with regard to Sanhedrin, which according to Rav Yoshia, maintaining like Rav Yehuda, requires nothing more than 70 judges, but the Mishnah says that you can judge a Shevet, or an Avi Sheker, or a Kohen Gadol, in front of the Beis Din. Now the Beis Din is only made up of 70, and we're dealing with Dini Nefashos. Because if we find an Avi Sheker guilty as accused, or a Rov the Shevet guilty as accused, that's a capital punishment. So I think the answer to that question is going to be the following. That Beis Din HaGadol, the High Court, the Sanhedrin, is only going to decide whether we have a Shevet, whether we have a Novi Sheker, whether we have a Kohen Gadol. Ultimately, the final decision of Dinei Nefashos is going to be handed down by a Beis Din of how many judges? 23 judges. So we start the case with 70. We cannot issue a verdict of a capital punishment with a Beis Din of 70, because Beis Din of 70 is a Beis Din Shakul, it's not a Beis Din Nota, and doesn't have the authority to issue a verdict of death, the capital punishment. So we're going to have to now send it to a Beis Din of Chaf Gimel, so there's going to be a two-part enterprise. In part number one, the Sanhedrin HaGedolah is going to decide whether this person is a Novi Sheker, is a Kohen Gadol who's guilty of a serious crime, whether the Shevet is guilty of Avodah Zarah. But the final verdict is going to be handed down by the Beis Din of 23. And I'll prove it to you. I'm going to ask you a funny kind of question. How many times in the Mishnah does the Mishnah tell you that Dinei Nefashos requires 23 judges? Zero. Right? It just says Dinei Nefashos b'Esrim v'Shlosha, but it doesn't go into detail about all the cases of Shevet and Novi Sheker and Kohen Gadol. Do you follow my point? What I'm saying is the following. Let me just go over this point one more time. When the Mishnah requires Esrim v'Shlosha, it gives you a long list of cases of capital punishments, but it doesn't mention the cases of Shevet, Navi Sheker, and Kohen Gadol. And I believe the reason for that is because the Beis Din shall Chav Gimel, right, 23 Beis Din, they could not possibly hand down a verdict of guilty in these three cases of Shevet, Navi Sheker, and Kohen Gadol without first a Bezdin HaGadol, a Sanhedrin HaGdola, presiding over the case and deciding that this is a case of Shevet or Navi Sheket.
Would you see that in the Mishnah? I don't see it in the Mishnah that take it away from the Sanhedrin HaGadol. There's no place that's. He's saying, the Mishnah is saying, it must be a Sanhedrin HaGadol. Done is saying, where do you get the switch?
No, I'm saying that the Mishnah divides it up into two. It says, Dinei Nefashos B'Esrim V'Shlosha.
Right.
And then it tells you what's included under Dinei Nefashos. So what is Dinei Nefashos B'Esrim V'Shlosha?
All those cases.
Well then, so why did you have to mention those? Why not just give me the whole list? You remember, just like we had before, Dinei Momenes V'Shlosha, and then we have a miut of Gzelos V'Chavolos. So whatever the miut limits the previous case. So I'm going to say that Dini Nefashos B'Esrim V'Shlosh is going to limit itself to Roveya, Nirva, etc. But what about the cases of Kohen Gadol, etc.? The answer is that although Bezdin of Chav Gimel would decide they'll hand down a verdict of Misa, of capital punishment, they can only do so after the Sanhedrin HaGdol has decided. Because again, we just finished establishing that a Sanhedrin HaGdola is the only Bezdin that's made up of an even number. Because Rav Yoshi is accepting Rav Yehuda, then all you need is 70. Now if all you need is 70, then what are we going to do with the word lintos? So the Gemara answers the word lintos is for Dinei Nefashos. Well, if it's for Dinei Nefashos, how is Bezdin Shalayim going to decide cases like Kohen Gadol and Novi Sheker, which are capital cases? That's Dinei Nefashos. So I'm going to suggest that the original first stage presiding over the court is going to be done under the supervision of a Bezdin Shel Ayin, but then they're going to have to shift over to a Bezdin Shel Dini Nefashos, which is 23.
It's like a grand jury. They can go forward. They're going to inquire, to go forward to send down the 23.
Right.
It sounds like it's a rapist to go down. Does it make sense?
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
A lot of times it makes sense and it's going
an
down.
Inquiry. Is that the word you use? An inquiry.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's a good word. I like it. David?
It's not double jeopardy. The person's not tried twice.
He's not tried.
Like he has a trial first.
They're sending him to the Sanhedrin Gadol is sending him to the lower court to be.
Right, and not only that, he's not being tried in the Bezdin of Ayin.
Right.
The Bezdin of Ayin is only making a declaration. You know, they're going to make a statement that the stage is set and all the conditions are met to determine whether he's Chayav Misa or not.
Okay.
Now we send it back to a Bezdin Shel Chav Gimel, which is a Bezdin of Dini Nefashos. Again, we'll try to work out all the details as we go along, but I'm just saying conceptually I think that's what's going on over here.
And that's according to Rav Yehuda.
According to Rav Oshi and Rav Yehuda, that combination of the two, right? So the Gemara now asks the following question. If you're telling me now that Rabbi Yoshia derives from the Pasuk Lintos that we need a Bezdin Hanota, so for example in Dini Nefashos we would need a Bezdin of an odd number, Elohad Isnan, we have a Mishnah later on in Masechet Sanhedrin regarding Dini Mominos, that Shnayim Omrim Zakai, the Echad Omer Chayav, Zakai, Shnayim Omrim Chayav, Echad Omer Zakai Chayav. The Mishnah says, without qualifying, that you can decide with a decision of two out of the three, a majority decision. Nema de Loker of Yoshia. Wow, this is. I'm going to stand up for this one. This one is pretty wild. The Gemara maintains that if, according to Rav Yoshia, you need a Bezdin Shel Shlosha. And not because I need to make sure that it's not a Bezdin Anote, but because the essential decision of the court has to be made up of three judges, the Gemara thinks that it's got to be a unanimous decision. Why? Because if it's less than a unanimous decision, it's not a decision of three judges. It's really a decision of two judges. The Gemara doesn't think that the third judge the dissenting judge is batel to the other two judges. It remains a decision of two judges. And later on we're going to see Rebbe's sheet that we didn't get to it yet, but it's right around the bend, hopefully we'll get to it in 5 minutes, that you need a Bezdin of five so that there'll be a decision of three out of the five so that a Bezdin of Shlosha made that decision. And the Gemara thinks that now Rabbi Yoshia would also likewise, like Rabbi later, require a decision of three judges. So the Gemara answers, no. Afilu tem Rabbi Yoshia. The Mishnah later on could reflect the Shita Rabbi Yoshia. Maisi lebe kalvachomer midine nefashos. Uma dine nefashos dechamiri omarachmona zil basaruba. Is dine moment is slow kolshken. In other words, if in dine nefashos, you don't need a decision of 23 judges. There's a vote. So you have 12 judges against 11 judges, correct? And that's enough for the Beis Din to hand down a decision. Oh, later on we're going to see you need a majority of two. So let's say there are 13 judges against 10 judges. Then the person who is accused of the crime will be put to death. You don't have a decision of 23 judges. There were only 13 judges that decided that he should die. So it's a decision of 13 judges. The answer is nay. All you need is a majority. You need a Beis Din that's made up of 23, and then you need a majority of judges voting and issuing this decree, this ruling, this verdict. How much more so in Dine Mamonos, according to the logic of Rabbi Yoshia? You need three judges to make up the court, but you don't need that the ruling itself be handed down by three judges. So there's what's called a Chefter Shel Beis Din, and then there's a Horas Beis Din. The Chefter Shel Beis Din requires three judges, but the Horas Beis Din requires just a rove. Even if that rove is two out of three, so you don't have a decision of three. And how does Rav Yoshia find this? Where does he have a precedent for this? Indeed, in a Fashal. So you have 13 judges issuing a verdict of guilty, 10 judges innocent. We're going to put the person to death. You have, as far as the Chefter Shel Beis Din, 23. As far as the Horas Beis Din is concerned, you don't need 23 judges, you only need Rov. So to Indini Mamonos, I need three judges for the Chefter Shel Beis Din, but for the Horas Beis Din, I only need a Rov. And how much is a Rov of three? Two out of three. All this is before the Sheet of Rebbe, which you're about to learn now. So let's just summarize the final, in Yiddish we call it the Untish Neshura, the bottom line of this Sugya. According to this Sugya, Rabbi Yonah's son would accept two judges to make up a court. We need a third judge in order that it shouldn't be a Beis Din Nota.
Beis Din Shakel.
I'm sorry, it should be a Beis Din Nota, right? That shouldn't be a Beis Din Shakel. And therefore we suggested that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's very possible, according to Rabbi Yonasan, it's very possible that if Beis Din B'dieved would issue a decision based on a court that was made up of two judges, it could be, okay, we're not happy about it, but we might accept that Beis Din. The Gemara then vacillates back and forth. Does Rav Yoshia, who derives the three judges from Elohim times three, and he requires three judges essentially, does he reject the whole derivation and principle of Beis Din Nota, the requirement of Beis Din Nota? And the Gemara initially wants to say that he stands on the shoulders of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, in the case of Sanhedrin Agdola, dropped the requirement of a Beis Din Nota, and therefore 70 judges is sufficient. So too Rav Yoshia drops the requirement of a Beis Din Nota. So Gemara says, wait a minute, Rav Yehuda only said it in Dine Nefashos. But in Dine Mamonos, we don't know that. In fact, we have a proof that in other judgments, Rav Yehuda requires a Beis Din Nota, because in the case of Smichas Kenim and Egla Rufa, Rav Yehuda requires five judges. Why does he require five judges? So Gemara says it would have been enough. The Samchu Zikne, Samchu is two, Zikne is two, to require four judges, and that would be enough. But Rav Yehuda adds a fifth judge because he requires a Beis Din Nota. The Gemara turns around and says, Rav Yoshi accepts Rav Yehuda not only as far as Dine Nefashos is concerned, but he took that principle of an even number on Beis Din and he even applied it to Dine Mamonos. Now, if he applied it to Dine Mamonos, so what's going to be? I'm sorry, let me go over that one more time. Just one second. What I meant to say is the following. In the case of Sanhedrin, correct? Oh, not only Sanhedrin, But even the case of Dine Nefashos, we don't have requirement of Bezdin Nota. The Pasuk says Lintos, that's going to be for a Bezdin of Dine Mominos. So in Dine Mominos, we're going to require, or any Bezdin made up of three judges, we're going to require Bezdin Nota. A Bezdin Nota. Where do we drop the requirement of Bezdin Nota? That's only as far as Dine Nefashos is concerned. Okay? So the Gemara now says that what are we going to do with the Mishnah that says that in the case of Dini Mominos, if you have a majority, they could hand down a decision. So it means there were three members of the court, two of which said Zakai, or two of which said Chayav, that's enough. If Rav Yoshia requires in Dine Mominos, not a Bezdin Nota, but rather requires Elohim times three, therefore we come to the conclusion that we have to have a decision of three, not just the Heft to the makeup of the Bezdin is three, but even the Horas Din is three. And therefore the question is, how can the decision be handed down by two out of the three of the judges? So here's where the Gemara introduces a Kal V'Chomer. Rav Yoshi said the following: If in Dine Nefashos he can have a decision made by the majority, as long as you have a makeup of a Bezdin of Chav Gimel, but if let's say 13 out of the 23 judges decide that he's Chayev, we can rely on those 13. So we don't need a Ras Bezdin of 23, we need a Cheftishal Bezdin of 23. The Ras Bezdin is a robe. The same structure should certainly apply in Dine Mominos, where the requirement of three is only in the Cheftishal Bezdin and not in the Horas Bezdin. And we're going to stop here, but I just want to introduce the next sugi is going to be the sugi of Rebbe. Tana Rabbanan Dini Mominus Bishlosha Rebbe Omer Bechamisha Kedesha Yigmar Hadin Bishlosha. So Rebbe actually took this one step further. He's with Rav Yoshia, but even beyond Rav Yoshia. Just like Rav Yoshia requires three judges as essential to make up the Bezdin, derived from Elohim, 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 he requires three judges to issue a verdict and a Horas Din. It's not just a requirement in the Cheftishal Bezdin, but it's also an Horas Din. Now, how do you get a Bezdin that will guarantee you a Horas Din of Shlosha? And the answer is, we can only do that if we have five judges. Why? Because although the judgment can be handed down by a majority, which means three out of five, but we're still left with a three-man Bezdin that issued that Horas Din. So whereas, according to Rav Yoshia, we need three Dayanim to make up the very essence of the Bezdin, now the Bezdin will offer a decision based on Rov. Rebbe goes a step further. The very makeup of the Bezdin has to guarantee that there will be a Horas Bezdin of Shlosha Dayanim. So the requirement of Shlosha is not just in the makeup of the court, as we call it, the Cheftishal Bezdin, but also in the Horas Din. So if you have five, and the decision is going to be made by three out of the five, then Rebbe says the verdict is valid. And why is it validated? Because you have a Horas Din of Shlosha Dayan.
Well, so why is four wrong? Because it's an even number.
Right, yeah. Right. And then again, we say that based on the Kal V'Chomer from Dini Nefashos, we require a Bezdin note. Okay, then. So we'll pick up Rebbe Shita tomorrow, and that's it for today. Does anybody have a pencil? I want to just make a. Okay, small note here.
Okay.
You know what? I better. Got to ask permission. I don't think he'll mind, but. So I borrowed this. So, Rebbe, I'm going to.